This teaching is titled, Our God Does Not Control. There's a prominent television evangelist, and one of the things he says is that God is in control. God is in control. I don't accept that. I don't buy that. Because my God does not control. Well, the first thing we have to realize is there are two gods. Let me say that again. There are two gods. So if you say God is in control, let's look at the nature of each of the two gods. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, from the Amplified Bible, it reads, Among them, the God of this world, talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel that is in the glory of Jesus Christ, whom is the image of the true God. That's the God of this world. The God of this world controls. Let me give you an example from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 30. When he arrived, talking about Jesus Christ, he's crossed the Sea of Galilee in a boat. When he arrived on the other side of the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men, demon-controlled or possessed men, came from the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass by. What do you want of us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? They are confronting Jesus Christ. They are challenging him. And in a distance, there were a herd of swine feeding. And the demons begged Jesus, We like being here. We like being in this guy, these two men. But if you're going to drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. They wanted to have a body to be in, a physical body. And so Jesus said, go. He gave him the option. He didn't control them. He just said he gave them permission to leave. And they went into the herd, and the herd went over the cliff and into the water and drowned. That's control. That's control. Well, the God we serve gives us choices. And let me show you those choices. I'll show you by example from Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Talking about a spiritual death. Jesus gave Adam all of the dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and his job was to take care of the Garden of Eden. But there was one thing that he was told not to do, and he was not to eat of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge. That was the one thing out of the millions of plants and all the things in the Garden of Eden, there was one thing he was not to do. They would eat of any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they chose the one fruit that they were forbidden to eat. Well, they had a little help in making that decision, and you'll see that as we go along. When God formed man, made and created this earth, he put Adam in charge. God made it clear that Adam, what he could and should do, and then made it clear what he was not to do also. The only thing that God told Adam he should not do was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam had a choice. Out of the ground, God made, formed, and created man. He formed and created every living beast and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. Adam had the privilege of naming all of the animals. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing or every living creature, that was its name. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and to every wild beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper to meet him or to be with him, suitably adapted or complement him. Man was placed on the earth to rule it and have dominion over it and every living thing. God gave man only one restriction. God put Adam in charge, and the devil knew that if he was going to throw a monkey wrench into God's perfect creation, he needed to work with Adam through his weakest link, which was Eve. Satan's goal has always been, was then, and always is, since he got evicted from heaven, outlined in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil made it his job to undo or to try to undo everything that God had done. Verse 3. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living being or any creature of the field that the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree in the garden? The first thing the devil did, and the first thing he'll do with us, is he'll get us to question God's word. He'll get us to question God's word. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden. Yes, we may eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden, except, verse 3, the fruit from the midst of the garden. God said, ye shall not eat it. And here's where she changes the word. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did God say don't touch it? No, he just said you will not eat of it. For the day that you do, you will surely die. Now Eve is added to God's word by saying, neither shall we. So Eve adds to God's word when she added, neither shall we touch it. But the servant said to the woman, you will not surely die. Satan changed God's word and got away with it because neither Adam nor Eve, they didn't challenge him. They did not challenge him. These are the choices. Eve questioned God's word, considered the devil's words, and completely changed God's word when she added, we cannot touch it. And Adam, like a dummy, did not correct Eve or Satan. But when Eve ate the forbidden fruit and then offered it to Adam, he did eat. Adam and Eve chose to allow the devil to add to the word, neither shall you touch it. To change the word by allowing the devil to state, you shall not surely die. Change the word. God set things up in a way that he wanted things to be. Man had dominion over all things. Adam named the animals. Adam made a decision to go along with the devil and his wife. When Adam blew it, God confronted him. Now, when God confronts Adam, did God know that Adam had blown it? Sure he did. When confronted by God, Adam did the classic thing that men do to this day, blame shifted. Let me say that again. When confronted by God, Adam did the classic thing that men do to this day, blame shifted. Let me explain that. The first Adam tried to hide from God. First he tried to hide from God. Not a good idea, but he tried. And then when God, Genesis 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Now God confronts them, confronts Adam. So what does Adam do? Adam blames God. From Genesis 3:12a, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. You know, God, if you'd have just given me a different model, if you'd have given me a toad or a frog or a monkey, this wouldn't have happened. From Genesis 3:12b, she gave of the tree. She gave me to eat of the tree, and I did eat. So first he blames God. Then he blames his wife. And what does Eve do? Follow suit. She does the same thing that Adam taught her by example. And she blames shifts too. For Genesis 3:13, and the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So first, they blame God. Then Adam blamed his wife. And Eve blamed the devil. Now, neither one of them took responsibility for their sin. Sin is doing things contrary to God's word. Neither one of them took responsibility for what they had done. John 10:10, from the Amplified Bible. The thief cometh not, but in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. That was what Jesus Christ came to do. The thief, talking about the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, but I am come that you might have life and would have more abundantly. Those are the choices we make. Those are the things we decide. From Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. From the Amplified Bible. Trust in the Lord. Rely confidently upon the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and not block your way. Adam was given the opportunity to confess, to say, look, you know, God, you caught me. I'm wrong. But instead, he blame shifting. And because he refused to confess, they paid a heavy price. In the same way, we are given choices in each and every situation. With David, when David was asked by Jesse, his father, to take Jesus to his brothers who were fighting the Philistines, he had a choice. He could either do his father ask him to do, which was to go see how his brothers were doing in the war, or he could stay at home and go play with his sheep. But he chose to do what his father told him to do. And so when he gets out there to the army, he sees he's coming at a time when Goliath is coming up to issue his challenges. Goliath came and issued a challenge every morning and every evening. And that challenge was, well, you know, we can settle this thing. The war Jews, the Jewish nation, and the Philistines. And he said, look, Goliath said, there's a simple way to resolve this. Send out a man from among you, and let he and I meet. Whoever wins, wins the war. The rest of us will follow suit. David heard that, and he got angry. By angry, I mean a godly angry. He's sitting there thinking, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? He had a choice. He could either run like his brothers were doing and every man in the Jewish army was doing when Goliath issued his challenge, or he could stand up against this bully. So this is rehearsed and goes before Saul the king. And David says to the king, let no man's heart fail thee because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now here is a 16 or a 17-year-old kid out there with shepherd's tools telling the king that let no man's heart fail. Don't be afraid of this big bully, this guy who's 9 to 12 feet tall. I'll go out and take care of him. That was the choice David was making. And in getting born again, we have a choice. It's up to us. God gives us a choice. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, if we make that choice, then God guarantees, then you shall be saved. That's a choice. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again. So this is a choice. Trust in the Lord and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth. He'll remove obstacles that block your way. Just as Adam and Eve had a choice, we have a choice also. When we're born into this world, we're born with the nature of the first Adam, that's sin. When we choose Jesus Christ, the second Adam, God gives us a new birth. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. So, for since by man came death, by man also comes resurrection from the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruit, afterward they which are in Christ at his coming. And then we go down to 1 Corinthians, still in chapter 15. We go down to verse 45 through 47. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Talking about Jesus Christ. Howbeit, that was not first, is former. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. talking about the contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second Adam is of the Lord, from heaven. Our action, our words, communicate our heart. What we really believe, and our belief is communicated to those around us. From 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18, we read, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let me read that from the Amplified Bible. "Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all irrelevant babbling and godliness, which profane empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their teachings were spread like gangrene. So is Hymenaeus and Lathaeus, who deviated from the truth." They deviated from what God told them from the scriptures. And they claim that the resurrection had already taken place and undermined the faith of some. King James clarifies that a little simpler, makes it a little simpler for our in 2 Timothy 2:17. "Their message spread like cancer." Now that I certainly relate to, having been a victim of cancer and having beaten it. That makes, for me, is a whole lot easier to grab. "And their message spread like cancer. Emmaus and Philetus are of this sort." And then it talks about how cancer, and it's a disease which any part of the body suffering from inflammation becomes so corrupted that unless a remedy is seasonally applied, the evil continues to spread and to attack other parts, and at last eating away to the bones. When a cancer is fully mature, what these men said spread through the body of believers like a cancer. It metastasized, eating away at the integrity of the word that they had been taught. This same modus operandi that the devil used with Adam and Eve 1,000 years before. Let us review what Adam and Eve did before they fell. John 10:10 says again, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Chapter 2, verse 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field in which the Lord had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, Can it really be that God has said, You shall not eat from every tree in the garden?" The first thing the devil did was he questioned God's word. "And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, We shall not eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die." Well, did God say anything about touching it? No, he didn't. So now, now she's adding to it, and she throws in an e-twist, which is, neither shall we touch it. Eve added to God's word when she said, neither shall we touch it. But the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. Satan changes God's word and got away with it because neither Adam nor Eve did anything to challenge him. These are our choices. Eve questioned God's word. Consider the words of the devil. She considered the words of the devil And then she completely changed God's word by adding to it. Neither can we touch it. And Adam did not confront Eve or Satan. But when Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, she then offered Adam a taste of it, and he ate. Adam and Eve chose to allow the devil to add, neither do we touch it, to change it by saying, you shall not surely die. When you add to the word of God and you change it, you no longer have the word of God. You have a private interpretation. Let me remind you before we start looking down our nose at Adam and Eve from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. So don't look down at Adam and Eve, because we have all blown it. Being justified freely by His grace, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, the payment in full, through faith in His blood, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just, the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Christ came to pay our price, to pay our debt in full. Jesus Christ became the second Adam to undo what the first Adam did. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at His coming. From Joshua, chapter 24, 15. But if you seem evil, but if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether it be the God of our fathers, that they served and which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord, the one true God. That's a choice. It's a choice we make every hour of every day. But remember, our God does not control. We are not puppets on godly strings. We are not puppets on godly strings controlled by God. But each of us has a choice. And based on the choice we make, so we'll have a life that's either free or not free. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, verses 21 through 23. For since by man came death, talking about the first Adam who blew it, by man also came the resurrection from the dead, talking about Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All shall be made alive. But each one in his order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at His coming. We started this teaching with John 10:10. when I shared that the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God bless you. I love you. Have a fantastic day.